WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Welcome back to the WTF is Retail podcast. Theo's still here. He's come back for another episode. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Never leaving, mate.
Never leaving. Here for good. And we have a very special guest. We have Jamie Smalley, the founder and CEO of Rundaway. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Great, thanks. How was the journey in?
Yeah, not too bad. Early start, but yeah, it was good. Yeah, peak train coming into London, okay. The joys.
Where was it? Poole you came from?
We came from Poole, yeah, on the 6 o'clock. So yeah.
We appreciate the commitment as always.
Yep.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad that you're here, and I'm really excited for this episode. So let's get stuck into the first question.
Yeah, 100%.
I would love to hear that kind of like that aha moment you had of why you wanted to start Rundaway.
Sure. So I got into running after university, and I was training for the New York Marathon, and I was getting chafing, and it was terrible. Got chafing in the race. Came back to my run club, and I was living in London actually at the time. Came back, and I said to the guys who I was training with, you know, like they were saying, how was New York Marathon? How was it? I was like, race was great. It was amazing. Great atmosphere. But God, I had terrible chafing, and, you know, a lot of runners have been there. And they just sort of said to me, like, well, that's just part of marathon running. And then that was the sort of bit of a light bulb moment where I just thought, actually, why is that? That's a problem.
Yeah.
It needs fixing. And so the journey, really, that was the catalyst and started from there.
Nice. Yeah. And I'm assuming you're aware of this guy. Have you heard of Ross Edgley?
Heard the name.
Okay. So there's this guy called Ross Edgley. He does all these crazy stunts. And I watched some of his videos. And he's basically an endurance athlete. He does swimming and stuff. And a lot of the time in his videos, he gets serious, serious chafing.
There you go.
Reach out to him.
Maybe reach out to him, guys.
Noted.
Ross Edgley.
Noted.
Yeah, amazing videos. Incredible athlete. But just came to my mind.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like you said, it's just kind of got to the point where it's been accepted, right? This is part of when you run long distances, it's going to happen. And what's the solution? Well, now there is one.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, awesome. And I guess while we're on that topic of what Rundaway is, how it sort of started, maybe worth also like giving, because it's not just underwear that you guys do, maybe a bit of a range.
Absolutely.
Into the other products and
yeah,
when and how they came about as well.
Yeah, sure. So we had, as a runner, you have numerous different parts of, you know, skin chafing. You've got blisters as well. So we came up with an anti-blister sock. So a double-layered sock, super fine inner liner. We didn't invent that, by the way. But we found that the socks that were out there, they didn't really cut the mustard. They weren't using good enough yarns. And we thought we could do it better. So we came up with a very thin yarn that comes inside of the sock. So that hugs against your skin. Mm. That got rid of blisters.
Mm-hmm.
A few years in, after the underwear, we had a lot of female runners or customers who would come up and say, look, Jamie, we want a bra.
Yeah.
Like, we want a bra. And we're getting problems. We've got chafing. We're not getting the support we want. Mm-hmm. We're not in that comfort.
Yeah.
If only you could do exactly the same thing. And I was like, look, what do I know about bras?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know anything about bras. And so it was a bit of an ostrich. I put my head in the sand and just sort of thought, that it will go away.
Yeah.
And it didn't,
yeah,
obviously. And then I thought, right, okay, I've got some bandwidth now. Time to knuckle down and say, right, how do we do this? Mm. And as a guy, that's interesting, right? From making a bra perspective, because I had no preconceptions, never worn one, didn't know anything about it. So I just thought, right, get experts in and just listen.
Mm.
And that's how we developed the product. And I listened to really good people that knew a lot more than I did. And we developed it over time, iterated it. And we've got to a point now where we've got a fantastic bra range as well. So, yeah.
Nice. So we've got the underwear, socks, and bras now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess that actually leads me really well into my next question. That sounds like an incredibly steep learning curve, right? Man,
yeah,
knows very little about bras.
Yeah.
Had to then go out and design one that came with the support in all the right areas and prevents chafing as well, right?
Yeah.
So what other sort of steep learning curves would you say you have had to tackle?
Yeah.
From just being a guy who likes running, trying to solve your own problem to having a really successful business now?
Yeah, 100%. It was very steep. My background was not in textiles, so I had to learn the international supply chain. I went to textile. I felt a bit like a fish out of water. Like I was just like going to textile places, people talking in technical language, and I didn't know what they were saying, and I just had to learn. But thankfully, I quite like that. I like being challenged, and I like learning. And so I asked the silly questions, got to know it, and you move on to the next conversation, and then you don't sound quite so silly.
Yeah.
You get to the third conversation, and people go, oh, this guy knows his stuff. So you kind of just got to go with it and put your hands up and go, look, you know, be honest, I'm new to this. But it was steep. It was a steep learning curve. And then international supply chain, so all the operational part. Thankfully, that was quite interesting. I found that very interesting, but tricky, definitely challenging. Knowing your HS codes and different tax rates around the world and all the intricacies of that. So yeah, no, it was interesting. I saw it as a challenge. I think there's two ways of you either think, right, this is really a barrier, or you think, right, I'm going to investigate this and I'm going to get good at it.
Yeah.
And that's I think the mindset, you know, you want to take in to starting something. Don't be put off by it. See it as something that you got to go, right, okay, I've got to really roll up my sleeves here and get going and learn it.
Yeah.
I think this goes really nicely, probably hand in hand with your mentality as an athlete yourself, endurance athletes.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a different mindset, right, of just being able to power through stuff, you know, overcome challenges. It's like something they enjoy, right?
100%. In a marathon, very rarely do you run a marathon and you don't have a bad patch, right? You have a bad patch at some point. Whether it might be, and it might not be physically, it might be mentally, where you need to go, right, come on, slap yourself around the face and just get back to it.
Yeah.
And I think if you can take that into business as well, because you're never going to have every day, Monday to Friday, win. There's always a little loss and you've got to go, right, how do we combat that? How do we get back to win tomorrow? Because it's a roller coaster. It is a roller coaster. And anyone listening to this that's started a business knows that it's a massive roller coaster. And there's big ups, big downs, little ups, little downs. And you got to roll with it. But I think endurance athletes probably have that because they have to.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. You hit a nail on the head.
Good transferable skill.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 4 sponsor, Cubix Media. Cubix are a Shopify agency and Shopify Plus partner that specializes in crafting beautiful and reliable web stores. If you're a brand looking for Shopify services, replatforming, development, or e-com strategy, then head over to Cubix Media. Let's get back into the podcast.
Nice. And you kind of mentioned the international supply chain, things like that. How many countries are you selling in and stuff like that?
So at the moment, we have grand plans at the moment. We've just made forays into Thailand, Vietnam, throughout Southeast Asia. It's a new market for us.
Nice.
So that's really cool. We're in the UK. We're in the US and Australia, New Zealand. We're going into Canada as well. That's going to be launching very, very soon. So we've got some grand plans. In 2025, we've been having a bit of a focus on Asia as well.
Nice.
And Europe is definitely there. We get picked up a lot in Europe, and we have a lot of European customers, but I think a bit more of a targeted focus in 2026 as well. Nice.
I was just about to say, like, Southeast Asia, I've spent quite a bit of time there myself.
Yeah.
And that's, when you said that, that's interesting. What have you guys seen in terms of endurance athletes and things in Southeast Asia, which made you say, okay, that's a great market?
Yeah. So the trends are definitely there. They're uptake. So to put, I've got a couple of anecdotes right here.
We love an anecdote.
Exactly. We love an anecdote on a podcast. So one, back in the day when I was doing the supply chain, I was in China and I was that like weird guy running around a small town in China around the roads and everyone looking at me and thinking, oh God, like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Roll on now and you go to a park in China and, you know, you're weaving in between people if you're running. You know, there's so many runners. It is just, it's blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so some of those marathons you've got there are 50,000 entrants. before, you would have been able to roll into any of those. Mm. Well, they wouldn't have even had 50,000.
Yeah.
They sell out now like 3 hours.
Yeah, well.
And that's in China. That's spread out through Asia now. And my next one was, so I was actually in Vietnam and staying in central Vietnam, staying near a little lake. Mm. And I was training for the marathon. I forgot what I was training for. Maybe Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I was training for Boston Marathon. I thought, like, 5 o'clock, I was up. Walked down to this lake because I'd sort of scoped it on a little run the night before. And I thought, oh, that would be perfect because there's so many cars and scooters everywhere. And, like, that would be fine. I can get a session done. Went down. And it was dusk. And I saw these barriers out and loads of people. They closed off the roads. And there was thousands of runners running around this lake at about 5:15 in the morning. I was like, oh, God, there must be like the race on or something.
Yeah, must be a marathon.
It must be a marathon. Yeah. It looked like an organized London marathon. It was that busy. And you thought, and I was expecting to be the only person down there.
Yeah.
And I got down to the lake and I was just blown away. It was one of those moments, and it had some beautiful Vietnamese music playing. The sun was coming up, and I was just like, and I remember taking the videos and whatever and putting it on my Instagram and just being blown away by this.
Yeah.
Like, it was awesome. It was just awesome. It was like my favorite run of the year because it was unexpected. And I just ran around this sort of closed roads in Vietnam, and it was brilliant. And that was the moment where I thought, wow, there really is a very... a growing market here. And that was it's one thing reading it, there's another thing seeing it.
Yeah. That was the moment. Yeah.
And I saw it and I'd had a meeting there. That was why I was there.
It also kind of makes sense. Like, I feel like in Southeast Asia, China particularly, like, they have like a bit of a history of, like, they like wellness and stuff. They like looking after themselves. Like, if we take away from running, you'll see, like, 80-year-old people in the park in the morning doing Tai Chi and things. Like,
100%. Yeah, I mean, well, just coming back to that story in Vietnam, so we're running around, but in each of the pockets of the corners where on those roads and squares, there were the older people doing their little aerobics and doing things. Brilliant. Like, you saw them and they're, you know, really old people doing it. And you think, that's great.
To the music brilliant. As well. They always
to the music.
Music pumping out.
It was brilliant. Yeah, it was great. That. It was great. I loved it.
That's
awesome.
And how does one, maybe for some of the listeners who are considering a similar market, how are you going about expanding into those areas? Are you growing the team locally? Do you have sort of partners that you work with to enter those areas? Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, I think you've got to get out there and get dirty and get amongst it.
Yeah, so you were saying before you've been out there this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So get out there, have meetings, have, you know, meet people, go and speak to people. I think a lot of these markets you've got to look at and think, look, these are complex for us as a British company. And as much information as you possibly can take out of it, get that from the meetings and remain flexible with your strategy. But partners locally, I think trusted partners locally are always going to be helpful.
Cool.
And help you in those markets.
Yeah. Does that apply to Australia and New Zealand as well?
Yes, I think it does. I think that's not so much the cultural change. Mm-hmm. It's just the physicality of being so far away.
Yeah.
And at different time zones, different is difficult. Like, to run that would be difficult.
Yeah.
I guess if you're doing pure e-com, could be different. But if you're looking at doing retail as well, which is what we're talking about, then I think those relationships, it's very difficult to do from Poole in Dorset.
And we've already kind of talked about heaps of interesting challenges and things already, but is there any kind of specific challenges over the last kind of like 2 or 3 years which, you know, you would like to talk about or highlight and be like, okay, this was a real pain in the ass, like
a real pain in the ass? I'd say, I think, not pain in the ass, but I think the challenges are the international expansion always has a but. It always got something but this, and it's like, okay, there's another barrier. Just when you think you've got to see the finish line to getting through it, there's another barrier. I would say when you're trying to expand, globally and doing multiple markets, making sure that you get that information, as much information as possible, mm-hmm. up front, to avoid those like unknowns, mm-hmm. is probably the one bit that I would sort of recommend. Yeah.
And how are you even connecting with certain kind of companies and stuff? For example, in Southeast Asia, where it's so different. In China, it's a different alphabet. Like all this kind of stuff. How are you finding the right people to connect with?
Yeah, that's a sales partnership piece, which is network. Mm-hmm. And that's better than outreach, I find. I think using your network is key.
Yeah.
Because it's about, there's an element of trust. Right?
Exactly.
Because you're trusting someone with your brand to do the communication. Can't police it all the time. We try. But you know, there's going to be elements where they're going to be doing something. So they have to get it. They have to understand the fabric of the brand. And if they get that, you're not going to build that fabric of brand over Google Meet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you will in a Vietnamese cafe chatting.
Yeah.
And generally, we're quite lucky in the fact that they're also runners. So we're all runners. We understand it. We speak a common language. So I find that we're lucky in that respect, and it's a hobby that people love, and they're generally in it because they love that industry.
Yeah.
I guess that could be very different if you're in an industry which is maybe not a hobby, or people are in there for different reasons than the love of the sport.
I can imagine after a couple of Vietnamese coffees, you are flying because they are strong. I got addicted to them when I was living out there. They are heavy stuff.
Living out there. Was,
yeah, just yeah. A few years. But yeah. I got into this habit of, I'd have like two or three coffees a day, and they're nothing like coffee here, as you know. Like, it's so strong. Yeah. And I just couldn't fall asleep till like 2-3 in the morning every day.
Just going for runs all night.
Yeah, just runs at like 2 a.m. Like, I was just pumped. So it's very nice.
Very good.
During lockdown, you're talking about like going back a few years, right? What about during lockdown? I know from speaking with your team, like, big part of what you guys do is get out there, and you've talked to it already, and be in person with your community, put on events, things like that.
Yeah.
Can you maybe talk us through a couple of the things that you did challenges-wise in lockdown to get people active, keep them moving, but also maintain and even grow your community?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we listened to what was required, but most of it was, what did we want? What I think is easier for us is that we are part of the community. I am a runner. I'm part of that community. So I think knowing what you want yourself, it's a bit easier than trying to second guess a market that you're not actually passionate about. Mm. So it does help. Mm. And it really does help. So I think making the connections, coming back to lockdown and the challenges as an example, that kept people engaged. But now when we're doing community runs, people love it. People miss the runs. They say, oh, you know, I've got to follow on social. I've got to do this. Mm. It creates that community, and it's like-minded people. We're seeing that now. I'm guessing people are gravitating towards it more because of such like the prevalence of digital infrastructure. And because of that, and the people, so much screen time, they really value that time where you actually got into human community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where run clubs have really grown, is that it's actually, they're coming back, right? There's not as actually replacing that missing part of what's being human. Mm-hmm. And the fact you've also got the health benefits, which are amplified through Instagram and different people online.
So. Totally.
I've kind of noticed in the UK, and I don't, maybe you can answer this, is like the park runs and things like this.
Yeah.
How like that seems to have obviously blown up recently, right? Like how recent have they been a thing? Have they always been a thing, or have they just grown?
No, they've been around for a long time. Yeah, no, they've been there for a long, long time. It's just grown in prevalence because I think you've got a new wave of runners, which is great. Mm. So you've got a new set of runners coming into that market, which is fab.
And probably new ways of finding out about it. I think like, you've got run clubs that would have been running through word of mouth for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
But I know for myself, like I've joined an e-commerce run club.
Yeah.
Like through basically WhatsApp and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because I can get the visibility of it. Whereas I would have never known to go down to the Wellington Arch at 8 a.m. on a Thursday. Like,
yeah.
You know, but I think because I can see it, it makes it accessible to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. You find your tribe.
Yeah, totally. And I guess that's a big part of your strategy then.
Yeah.
Yes, the in-person, but you guys do a good job online as well. Yeah. How do those two interact? And do you see that as part of the strategy, not just from a community perspective, but also driving sales through like your community and social channels?
Yeah, I think it's community first. Mm-hmm. And if we offer something, then people value it. And then they feel like, oh, there's some value and it's authentic.
Mm.
Like, we're authentic. We're an authentic brand. We're runners. Right. I'm a runner.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, that comes through. And I think people value that. We're not just trying to sell something that has no value and will disappear and it's gone from your consciousness. Something that you actually use, it's useful, and it prevents a problem from occurring and increases your comfort.
Yeah.
Ticks all the boxes, right? And so, therefore, the community piece is actually just something also that we like doing, right? Yeah. Like, there's nothing better than going out and speaking to fellow runners.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, before a marathon, it depends on the marathon, but I'm not always, I'm sometimes in the zone. But like, you're chatting with people on the bus, going out to the start line, and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And people get that same feeling, even if they're not going towards a marathon, but they're just going out to their local 6K run in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Like you with your e-com guys, right? You've got that
community. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Maybe I could ask then, in case any of the listeners are thinking, well, we're talking about visibility on run clubs. How can they get involved? Do you have any cool community events coming up, or things that you would recommend that they look out for or search around Runderwear to get involved in your community?
It's definitely something that we want to increase even more. Yeah. But wherever we are in the world, we try and put on an event.
Yeah.
So later this month, we're going to be in Chamonix for the UTMB.
Cool.
So arguably the biggest ultra trail run in the world. And we'll be there. We'll be doing a community run. So come down to that. Then we'll be doing one in Chicago for the Chicago Marathon. Again, near our headquarters. We're looking at doing them even more regularly now. People are saying, oh, can we do it a bit more regularly?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that we want to also partner with. So people that are doing community runs, if we can amplify it for them and help them grow it and offer it to more people,
mm-hmm.
brilliant. That's what we want to be. Yeah. So
maybe one on the horizon, gorgeous ex-Runderwear.
Hey, maybe something.
In London.
Maybe a little London one. Who knows? Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah.
Nice. And just going back to that bit about where we're talking about, you know, publicity and stuff like that. And one thing I saw, like, I've always done sport, same as Theo and things like that. But in terms of specifically running, something that I've noticed over kind of like two or three years ago that really blew up into the mainstream media was Russ Cook and the Hardest Geezer.
Yeah.
The run, the length of Africa. I was obsessed with that. Like, I was watching it when he had hardly any followers on YouTube. And obviously, by the end of it, I was one of the originals. He actually asked me to come and do the run with him. No, that would have been horrific. But you know, have you ever spoke to Russ and stuff? Have you ever tried to get him on the brand, or what's your thoughts even on the whole Africa run?
Oh, I mean, it was just, I was following it. I wasn't quite as early as you on it, but somebody had told me about
it. Not everyone can be. This guy, big original.
Hey, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's just boggles my mind to think that he ran that length of Africa. It's just amazing. But we've supported other runners that have been doing things. We had a guy run across India in Runderwear. We've had the people do Marathon des Sables, Antarctica Marathon. So real Everest. We
hardcore stuff.
Hardcore. Our product gets tested at the actual extremes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do get a lot of people that are emailing in, and we do support certain projects, they will email in saying that they're doing this project, they're doing this for charity.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have a lot, so we've got to look at which projects we can support. Can't support everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's our product does hold up against the elements in kind of extreme conditions.
That's good to know.
So it's quite good, but yeah.
Amazing.
Nice. I wanted to sort of pivot then and dive a bit more into the e-commerce side, the growth of Runderwear, and the sort of maybe tech behind the scenes that really makes that possible. So I was curious if there are any specific technology solutions from e-com platform to things that plug into it that have really like supercharged your growth or been a game changer for Runderwear.
Yeah, I think... I mean, when you look at it, the actual platform of e-com, so Shopify has really helped us, right? And I think that's gone through, you know, you read numerous different stories, but it sounds a bit cliche, but it really has helped from the starting point all the way through. And as the iterations of Shopify, and now we're on Shopify Plus, and how that's helped us become a global brand and not needed to actually change platform.
Yeah.
Because that's a big project, it's a big undertaking, and so I think that's really helped us for sure. And I know that there's some really big brands on Shopify as well, which has helped. Gorgeous has helped us with the customer service and the automation for sure, and getting through that customer service. but it really has, it has helped us. And now, as you've got, you know, artificial intelligence helping with that language side as well, with the internationalization of it, it's really going to help us.
Yeah.
It's going to help us a lot.
Totally. I mean, we were talking before about different alphabet languages all across Southeast Asia as an example, right? You can't hire someone that speaks all those languages. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you could do it, just be very hard.
Very expensive.
Yeah, very expensive. That's
the point, right?
So, very expensive, or you're outsourcing that customer service to another. So again, it comes back down to trust. So you've got a lot of those trust on sales partners, supply chain partners, all these kind of things. If you've got one less, like, you don't need that on customer service. So in yesteryear, you may have had to go and say, right, do we trust these guys with our customer service in a country where we don't quite know what's going on?
Yeah,
is difficult.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's easy enough to check.
Yeah.
So that is a huge advantage in where we are now to maybe 10 years ago.
Nice. And do you, we talked about AI, but not necessarily AI based. Are there any like other tech that you're keeping an eye on or that you think you might implement in the future that, it, again, like will really take you to the next level?
I think there's a lot on the planning side. There's inventory. There is also, I mean, everything, and I don't really want to go, there's AI, like, but it is, right? Like, let's not, that is where it's at the moment. So looking at how can we utilize and which tools, because it's a plethora, like it's a sea, right? I think that's the key, is actually cutting through the sea of all of these tools and saying, right, what is actually right here, right now, something that we can use.
Totally.
And use cost effectively to move the dial.
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge that we have as people running businesses, is, right, what is it? What is that actual tool? Because there's so many.
Yeah, because we obviously are on the tech side. It's interesting to hear from your perspective, because I can imagine it's just overwhelming how everyone's like, oh, we've got this whole new AI thing and it can do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you have a very specific set of issues that you're facing this quarter, right? And that there might be something that could help with. But yeah, it must be difficult to get completely bombarded by all of the different options out there and find out what's the best fit for your business.
Absolutely, that's, I guess that could come back to the third question you asked, which was the challenge, right? Yeah. So actually, what is one of the biggest challenges? Getting the right AI tools in the right place.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Yeah, cutting through the noise.
Cutting through the noise,
That's a great take on that. And what's next for Runderwear? We've talked already about heaps of stuff, but like, any exciting news, new product releases, anything which you want to share with the audience, which is big plans?
Yeah, I mean, beyond the internationalization, which is obviously part of where we're going and wanting to become the number one running underwear brand in the world and solidifying that, I think it's, we don't want to go too broad on the product. We want to keep it relatively, how do I put it? We've always been a product first and product led brand. And making sure that we remain that. So we will bring out a product on time when it's ready, right? And that's the key. And we've got a nice little connection coming out of Merino products.
Okay.
This winter. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled on that. I don't want to go into too much detail right now, but yeah, we have some beautiful products which I'm looking forward to using myself, and I think our customers will love them. Yeah. Hopefully,
I think it's cool because like there's definitely a soundbite there about how authentic you are and how you wait for like the right timing. But it's actually before even asking that question, you've shown that throughout this whole podcast. Like at the beginning, you were talking about the bras, and how there was actually an ask for it, but you were like, "Ooh, we're not ready. I don't know. How do I approach this?" Steep learning curve.
Yeah.
When it's ready, you'll let it go.
That is always been my ethos, is that, you know, you've got the product, have the confidence behind your product. Because if you don't have that, I don't think you've got such a firm foundation, is just my feeling. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with a little bit of a wild question here. I always like to throw one.
Yes, love that.
I just like to throw it in the
just a nice little googly.
This is just a little fun one, but this, I actually wanted to ask this earlier, but I thought it'd be good towards the end of the podcast. In your opinion, what is the worst place for chafe? Like if we're talking number 10, this is where you don't want any chafing. And maybe we have to be a little bit PG here if that is the case, but what's your thoughts?
Well, from a male perspective, the inside of the thigh is really painful. That's the bit where it stings in the shower after. You can't concentrate on the run because it's painful. That's the bit where, so for me, inside of the thigh would be the
I can resonate with that as someone who's got
PG big, answer
PG answer inside PG of the answer thigh. I'll let your imagination take that over your
exactly. Yeah, there might be another one in there, but we'll go within a thigh.
I feel someone with bigger legs, I get a lot of inside leg chafe. So when I see people, maybe skinny leg people get as well, but sometimes I see skinny legs, I'm like, oh, you don't know what inside leg chafe is.
Yeah.
Imagine these bad boys.
Yeah, long boxer, men's long boxer. And it's why we also have the women's long boxer for exactly that reason. So the chafe a bit further down on the inside of the thighs.
What's the worst chafe you've had from running there?
I think I'll just say the other one tends to be worse for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But very well described on your side. And it sort of leans itself to the fact that you're very well versed in how to describe these things, how to be on podcasts, how to lead a brand. What would be your advice for other founders outside of getting really good at dodging really tricky questions? what would be your advice? Because we've talked about some of the really early challenges.
Yeah.
If someone's looking at starting a brand in e-commerce.
Yeah.
How would you approach it?
So I think coming back, I'm sort of reiterating it, but the product. Mm. So making sure that the product does the job.
Yeah.
And it stands up. The easiest part for a brand is to make sure that if you've got a 4.5 star review on all your products or above, then you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Right. And that word of mouth spreads. So I'd say the product is really key. Secondary, I'd say, is the making sure that your customers really feel like they're special. Mm. And that also comes back to the question before, which is the artificial intelligence side. Yeah. So how can you do that with now that automation part is, I think, something that is going to be challenging and shouldn't be ignored. So like where you can have a human that actually comes in and takes a bit of ownership as well, there's probably a mix there, a happy medium. And making sure that customers are feeling like they can get their answers. There's nothing, we've all been there where it's infuriating. You don't want to be that.
Yeah.
And I think that if you can build a brand that you know you get good customer service, high street retailer in the UK used to get massive amounts of customers because they knew that they could go back, get amazing customer service, right? And they built a dynasty on that. So I think those two key are like foundational.
Yeah.
So I think that answers the question. And then not moving on, I think not moving on until you've got those foundations built, because there's so much noise, so much to go. Oh, and the fear of missing out, like, well, that brand's doing that, and that brand's doing that, that company's doing that. Well, I've got to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that until you've got those two cornerstones really nailed down, then that would be my top two when
product and customer experience.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so, and I think it's just so vitally important because it gets naturally amplified.
Mm-hmm.
Like online, you see it. Like if I see positive things being said about Rundleware, it's great. We're not doing the sales for it.
And actually, those two things are completely intertwined, right? Yeah. Like you said, part of the customer experience is having access to the visibility of reviews, being able to leave a review, get feedback on your review, feel like if you give negative feedback, the feedback loop is there for the brand to actually care and make changes.
Care is the word.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, genuinely care.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely care about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't genuinely care, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? That's my feeling.
Yeah.
Don't do it. If you're just doing it for, don't do it.
Yeah.
Do it when you genuinely care about something and then it's more powerful.
Yeah.
And people know. They can smell the...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Luckily, we're talking to someone who genuinely cares about running. And I think, like, really, it's super obvious.
Yeah. Like, it's my community.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's it. I'm a runner.
Yeah.
And so I just love it. Mm. And there's nothing better. I mean, I just absolutely love it when I'm running in a park and somebody's running the other way and I'm like, got the socks on, or he's got the shorts on, he's got that on, like, or, you know, I love it.
100%.
Yeah. And it gives you a bit of a thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And in typical WTF fashion, last question, what's your favorite brand at the minute, which isn't obviously Rundleware?
Oh, good question. Favorite brand of clothing or any brand?
It could be a watch, it could be a car for all we care.
Perhaps you've fallen in love with the product. Perhaps it's the customer experience.
Yeah.
Like the two key things for you.
Yeah. I would say as a brand, I really love Monocle.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not necessarily an apparel brand, but I love how they go about things, what they do. I think it's a very clever brand. They do things correctly.
Nice.
So I really like that. They have an eye for detail as well, cool, which I really like. Bit of
shout
a fan.
Shout out Monocle.
Yeah.
Boom.
Shout out
there Monocle. There we go. A little mic drop for Monocle.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice. Okay. I think we're going to wrap things up here then.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the classic outro, which I do every time. This season has been sponsored by Cubix Media, Shopify Plus Agency, and presented by Not E-commerce. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I think it's been super insightful. There have been some great talking points that listeners will love.
Yeah, really appreciate your time, Jamie. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Brilliant. Thanks.